Right up here. Thank you. Bless the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word and for just the opportunity to stand before your people. And Father, I just ask, God, that you just speak the words, God. Speak your word to your people this day, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, when Marge asked me this morning, what's the title of your message, I was like, well, I think it's going to be, kind of took me, I thought I had a subject or a title maybe a couple of weeks ago, and then just kind of this week as God started dealing with me and I started going back, the message is the same. The title can be a number of things, but... Yes. Oh, good. Okay. When the baby is born, we'll give it a name. How about that? God spoke to me. I wrote a book a few years ago. It's called The Beauty of Brokenness, and the book was written as a result of, or as a testimony of my life. And I've lived a very broken life. I've been broken, broken, broken. And it's hard to think. When you think of something being broken, you think it's useless. It's no longer of any use. It's done. You know, let's just replace it and go on. But it's hard to think that sometimes in our broken state, we're in the best place for God to really cleanse us, restore us, and just and he's the only one who can take something that was broken and actually make it better than it was initially, you know? And that's what he's done to me, with me. And through that process, he revealed to me that I was touched to touch. A lot of the things that we go through in life is not just for us. God brings us through for a purpose. And through is the operative word with that. Because once we get to the other side of through, God can use us all the more to minister to others, even out of that brokenness that we've endured. Today, I believe God has given me an overall message of encouragement and exhortation. And I just want to encourage the people of God today. That's what this message is all about. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. Familiar. 2 Kings 4, I'm going to read about 7 verses, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now the wife of a son of the prophets cried to Elisha." This is 2 Kings 4 and 1. "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you of sale value in the house?" She said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go around and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons. Then pour out the oil you have into all those vessels, setting aside each one when it is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought to her the vessels as she poured the oil. When the vessels were all full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one left." Then the oil stopped multiplying. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." I want to go back to that second verse. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you of sale value in the house. She said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except." I have nothing except a jar of oil. And the reality was that except was all she needed. I have nothing except. But she had everything she needed. She just didn't know it. I have nothing except. You know, I've heard the phrase so much, so many times. Less is more. We hear that a lot. Less is more. Less is more. I mean, I hear it. I hear it on the job. I hear, you know, sometimes less is more. And, you know, that is a true statement when it comes to us. Less of me means more of God. So less is more. And if I were to ask you today, what is in your house? What is in your house? You have all that you need in your house. It's in your house. Whatever you need. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. Know ye that you are not, that you are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. And because the Spirit of God is in you, whatever you need, it's in your house. You may, I'm going to speak now out of, a little bit out of experience. You know, there are situations in life. Life just happens. As we live, life happens. We have good times, bad times. We have our ups and downs. We have our successes and failures. But, you know, I have been in times when it has been what I call a barren situation. And you may have gone through those times. You may be in a time of that right now. And when I say a barren situation, I'm talking about a situation where you have physically exhausted your means and your resources of everything on a situation, and it still has not changed. You still seem to be suffering from whatever that thing is. And, you know, it's hard in those times to think, you're like this widow, I have nothing. There's nothing left. And I can even remember even saying that. There's nothing. I have done all that I can do. I don't have anything left. I've done this. I've done that. I've done everything they told me to do. I've done everything I read to do. I've done everything I believe that God told me to do. But this situation is not changing. But you know what? Whatever you need, it's in your house. It's in those times when we are completely exhausted, that God, the Spirit of God in us, is magnified. When we are at our weakest is when God's strength is perfected. We have to realize it has to be less of me. It has to be less of me. All that we need to live an overcoming life in this life, Jesus purchased for us on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Through his death, his burial and resurrection, he purchased everything we need to live an overcoming life in this life. We hear so much, and I know I grew up very traditional, in a very traditional church, and we were saying, some glad morning, when, you know. And I mean, those are the kind of stuff, you know, and we shout, and you know how, and you know, and that, I'm not saying that's a done deal. That's done. We already know that in that sweet by and by, it's all taken care of, that, you know, everything's fine. But what we have to understand is we can live that overcoming life right now and today. You know, it's not that we have to, religious tradition teaches us you have to be broke down. You have to be, you know, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, because it does. I've just said I've lived a life of a lot of brokenness. But I stand before you today saying that greater is he that is within me, because I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. Everything I need, it's in my house. And that means I'm more than a conqueror. Because I'm not defined by my situation. I'm not defined by my circumstance. I am who God says I am. If he says I'm more than a conqueror, guess what? I'm more than a conqueror. With him in my house, I have everything that I need. It's in him that I live, we live, we move, we have our being. There was a commercial years ago, probably even decades ago. It was on TV, and it was a commercial that advertised the spaghetti sauce. And the gist of this whole commercial was that whatever you're looking for in a spaghetti sauce, it was a jar, it's in there. You know, you want robust flavor, it's in there. You want more meat sauce, it's in there. You want more herbs and spices, it's in there. Whatever you're looking for in that spaghetti sauce, it's in there. So might I propose to you today that whatever it is that you are in need of, it's in there. It's in your house. If you need encouragement, it's in your house. If you need healing, it's in your house. It's a done deal. It is a done deal. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. You have the greatest one living inside of you. And because he is in my house, everything I need to live and walk in wholeness and overcoming life is in my house. My healing, my encouragement. If I need wisdom, if I'm seeking spiritual, if I need a greater spiritual discernment, if I need a revelation to a problem, it's in my house because he's in my house. God is in my house. The Spirit of God dwells in you. We used to sing a song, I have a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. We have that life. And you know, the thing about a river is it's a body of water that continues to flow. A river always flows. You know, a lake is surrounded by land, so there's only so much, you know what I'm saying? But a river continues to flow. It's moving water. And that's what's in us. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that's residing in us. We sing the song, this is the air I breathe. Do we realize God is the air that we breathe? He, when he breathed the breath of life into Adam, it was him. It was God's breath. We have that same spirit on the inside of us. If we are living beings only through Christ. The word of God tells, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I. But it's the Christ in me that's living. Less is more. Less is more. And you know, it's a daily thing to crucify. I was back in Sunday school. You know, crucifying the flesh is progressive. You know, I've heard so all of my life I've heard, you know, the closer you get to God, that's a little more of your flesh that has to die. And crucifying the flesh is not necessarily a feel-good thing, but it's something that works for our good, because as we decrease, he increases. We have to learn how to access that well, allow that spirit, that river of life to flow in us and to flow through us. We have to learn, and like I said, it's progressive. We've not arrived yet, but we're learning daily how to allow the Spirit of God to rise up in us and command every part of our being to line up and be whom God has called us to be and to do what he has purposed for us to do. The Spirit of God can rise up in us and speak to every situation in our lives. It's already in there. It's in our house. Activating the Word of God, allowing the Word of God. And, you know, when a lot of times when we experience situations, we want to run to the phone when we really should be running to the throne. Now keep in mind, many times when you run to the throne, God will put somebody before you. that he will have you to go and talk with. But that shouldn't be our first response. Our first response shouldn't be to pick up the phone and call somebody. It's a normal response, but it shouldn't be our, but God is, he wants us to get past that. That in all of our ways, we acknowledge him and acknowledge him first and then let him direct our paths. It's in your house. It's in our house. Everything we need, it's in our house. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief's plot to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything. He wants to kill and destroy everything that Jesus purchased for us on Calvary. That's what he wants to kill. That's what he wants to destroy, and destroy us through doing that. Jesus said, but I am come. And I just like to, I am come. That's not normally how we would speak, but I am here. Here I am, that you might have life more abundantly today, not in the sweet by and by, but today, right in the midst of your circumstance, right in the midst of the fire, I am here that you might have life and that more abundantly. And you know, the way the thief tries to do that, tries to steal and kill and destroy, it's through distractions. That's all it is. It's through distractions. He starts with our mind, planting a false seed, a lie, in our minds. And if we choose to entertain it, then we cause that thing to become a reality. But we have to learn how to cast all those. The thief wants to steal, to kill, and destroy through distractions. Our focus is what allows us to continue to live that abundant life and to walk in that wholeness. It's our focus. Our focus has to be on God. We have to call those things, Clyde, that are not as though they are. Because the things that we see with our and feel and touch in the physical, that's just temporary. That's not eternal. It's the things that we don't see that's eternal. When we get those false lies and pictures of oh, well, this is what you have. Well, this is your plot in life. This is as far as you'll get. This is, and I'm speaking out of experience. And I'll be the first one to say, I've had my pity parties. I've entertained some of those things. There have been times in my life when I have had some pity parties. The enemy has flashed up there. Now see, this is your lot in life. This is as good as it gets. This is, you know, I've had those times. But I tell you what, when the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I don't care how, what situation you're in, if you can just but say Jesus, he will meet you right where you are. That's how that well spring up. Oh, well, I don't care how far down you are, how much of a mess you feel like you've made with your life. God can take your mess and give you a message, because that's what he did to me. He took my mess and gave me and made my mess into a message. And that is of wholeness. I know what God can do. I know what he can do. I have not arrived. I will continue to be broken. We all will in this life. But guess what? Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Spring up, oh well. I don't care what situation I'm in. Spring up, oh well. If you can just but say, Jesus, spring up, oh well. And that spirit man can rise up in you and take control of that situation. Here's the exhortation part. What you have in you is not just for you. David Hughes made a statement, and I was kind of listening to the CD from last week. And I can't quote it exactly how he said it, but the gist of it was, you know, when God puts something in us and he'll tell you, you know, this is what I want you to do. And by the way, it's not you doing it. It's me doing it. I put it in you and it's going to be all about me. Okay. So the things that that God has placed in us, it's not just for you. It's not just for us. I'm going to read a scripture in Acts. Let me put my glasses on here. Acts 3:3. I'm going to start with the first verse. Read a few verses. And this is also amplified. Very familiar passage. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, "Look at us." And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold, money, I do not have. But what I do have, that I give to you. In the use of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What is in you is not just for you. It's not just for you. Such as you have, give. Such as you have, give. I don't have anything except what? That's what you have. I don't have anything except a little jar of oil. But guess what? That was what she needed. And I will say this to you, and I'm going to say this in closing. The widow had the oil, had her accept, which was the jar of oil. But she had to do something with that. She had to surrender it. And when she surrendered it and did what she was told to do, it was multiplied. Might I propose to you today that whatever it is that you have, I don't care how big or small you think it is, that accept, when you surrender it, God multiplies it. He always multiplies what we surrender. Luke 17:20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come," this was Jesus, "he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, it's over here. It's over there. Here's the kingdom. It's go right and turn left. But behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So guess what? Every place you go, in the grocery store, in Walmart, to the baseball game, everywhere you go, every place I step into, the kingdom of God is there because it's within me. It's in your house. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We are the glory of God. We are His glory. When Dr. Lynn Hiles was here a couple months ago, I think it was, a few months ago maybe, that was one of the big takeaways that I took away from what he says, and that is, I am the glory of God. So every morning, my prayer, I don't try to pray for an hour like David Hughes was saying, which he said his was all legalistic, but my prayer is, today, God, let me be your glory. Let me be your glory in the earth. Whatever we need, it's in our house, because God is in our house. I'm going to close with a song that I have, but before I do, this week there was a word that God gave to me, and I just want to share it. It says, rise up, my people. This is your finest hour. This is due season and time to receive the anointing of this day. It's time to stand up and walk on the path of the new beginning that I have prepared and that I am sending you on. Your advance will be more glorious than it ever has been, and your adventures will be greater than anything you have experienced in past times. I will go with you. I will walk with you. I will be with you. I live in you. I will empower you for this season. So rise up in faith, believing that which I am speaking to you. Now, I have a song I want to share. The song is called Ordinary People. Let me come down here. And the song states that God uses ordinary people. Too many times, man, the flesh, will look at titles and position, and but that's what God wants. That's all, because that except is Him, and it's all things. It's all that we need, but we have to surrender that except.
Ordinary people, my God uses ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you, who are willing to do as He commands. God uses people who will give Him their all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. It's ordinary people my God uses. plain old ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people who will give him their all, no matter how small your role may seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. What you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you'll understand how your life will never be the same. It's ordinary people. My God, he uses ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you who are willing to do everything, everything that he commands. God, he uses people who will give him their all. It doesn't matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Yes, all you have to do is give your everything to Jesus. Your little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Hallelujah. Little becomes much when you place it in the Master's. Place it in the Master's hand.
Praise the Lord. What a tremendous word. You know, when Cynthia was, that song she just sang, God uses ordinary people. And he does. But you know, the thing is, he's an extraordinary God in ordinary people. And you can do extraordinary things through Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, so many times we look at what we have and we think, gosh, I can't do this or I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. Just be obedient and follow the Lord each day and do what he bids you to do for that day. And sometimes the littlest of things will make the biggest of difference in someone else's life. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That was a great word, Cynthia. I appreciate it. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And Father, truly little is much in our lives. But when we give you little, Lord, then you can pour out abundantly above all that we can think or ask. because we have the source of everything inside of us, Lord, your very spirit. Father, I ask you to bless your people. And Father, help us to go forth and not only be hearers of this word, but go forth and be doers of this word, just giving ourselves to you each and every day. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you all praise and all glory for everything you do. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If not, go and have a wonderful day. God bless you.